Have you ever felt that you were judged unfairly for something? That you did something good and you got in trouble for it anyways, or maybe you weren't the one who did something bad and you did get in trouble for it? This is pretty easy to have happen because things are just complex. As a kid, especially, you might not really understand what all the rules and expectations are. What's okay at one house or one place might not be okay somewhere else. So what people are perfectly happy to watch you do when you're running around at a park, they might get quite upset for at, let's say, a china shop, that you might just do things that are a little too dangerous. Sometimes it happens because we're not good at estimating our own abilities, that you think you can do something without causing any problems, and then you do cause a problem. But you were trying to help. You weren't trying to get anyone in trouble or break anything or hurt anything. Maybe you just thought you could carry more dishes than you really could. I think we've all seen that happen in a restaurant somewhere, where all of a sudden you hear a big clatter from across the room. Someone picked up more than they could. Or they didn't realize that there was something slippery on one of the plates, a couple of grapes that threw the whole stack off, and things came crashing down. Not because of any ill intentions, but because of an honest mistake. Sometimes, though, you really didn't do anything wrong. You didn't cause any problem. And at the same time, you got in trouble. Got blamed for something that was going on when you really weren't the one. I feel like something's really happening with this. I don't know what's happening, but we're going to keep going. Well, this is not agreeing with me today, so maybe I'll just take this other microphone. We'll turn this off. All right. We'll see if that'll pick me up. Is that okay for you guys now? We'll figure this out at some point here, but for now I'll use this guy. No? Do we need more volume from this? I mean, I can turn my other one back on if you want. We'll turn this one on and see if anything happens here. Sorry for the technical difficulties here. I'm just going to stand right here and talk, and they can figure out what mic to turn on or off. See, now I've lost my spot. Sometimes you get in trouble for things even when they are good. I think probably every marriage has a story of trying to do something nice for your spouse and having them get upset because of it. Maybe it's because you spent money that they were hoping was going to be saved for something else, that they were hoping things were going to go in one direction and you went a different direction. You see in commercials, people go and surprise their spouse with a new car. Like on Christmas morning, they walk outside and there's a car with a ribbon on it. But there's probably a lot of spouses who would be upset by that. Say, I'm sorry, did you spend $45,000 without even asking me? What was wrong with our other car? We could have used that money for other things, like I was thinking food. You don't see those aftermath of what happens in those commercials. But I was so nice. They had a sale. 0% down. Like, okay, well, what were you planning to use for eating for the next 18 years? Because that's a lot of money you just spent. Sometimes you get in trouble for things when really not only were you not in the wrong, but everything turned out good. And yet someone could still be upset about it. We see a story like that today in Acts. We're in Acts chapter 11, and as we pick up here, we've just seen the story of Peter and the vision he had of the sheet being lowered and being told to kill and eat, and of course his objection to that, that he had never had any unclean animal, he had never eaten anything against those laws of what you were allowed to eat and not allowed to eat as a Jewish person. And then he found out relatively quickly that this was really to prepare him for the invitation to go and see a Gentile, to go and spend time at that house and to really enter in with them and then to share the gospel with them in a way that he thought normally he would not have done, but because of this revelation from God, he was willing to do. Now we pick up the aftermath of that in Acts chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As they began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the way that you work in and among us, for the gift of your word, and we ask that you would open our hearts and minds that we would be able to hear from you today. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Here we have this story of Peter returning from what many would consider a great mission. He had gone out, he had gone to several places, and the last stop there was to see Cornelius, to go and see God at work in a great and new way. And yet when he comes back, I love this comparison there in verses 1 and 2. The apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So, when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him. Like, what a great return. They've heard that God is at work, that people have responded, that the gospel has made new progress in the world, and so they criticize him. And we wonder, what were they thinking? What was going on? But we shouldn't be too hasty to judge them too harshly in this, because I see that they are very concerned about the way of God, about the way that people were supposed to live, the laws that they were supposed to follow. They say in verse 3, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." What were you doing? What does the law mean to us? Is it enough for your mission to be in some measure a success? Is it okay for the Gentiles to hear the gospel by these methods? How do you know when you are getting the right results but also using the right methods? And does it even matter? And we see, as Peter responds, his response is not, well, who cares how I did it? As long as the gospel went out, as long as the church is growing, then why should any of you complain about it? Instead, he also is concerned about what God is telling them to do, how they are called to live, how they are meant to be in their ministry, going to people and knowing what to participate in and what not to participate in. In fact, this is a theme throughout the New Testament. As the church is expanding, over and over again, we see this called back up. How do you know where you can go and who you can talk to and in what ways you can join with them? Sometimes there'll be debates between people. Are we crossing a line by doing this? Or I have a question about this. Or I don't feel comfortable in this action. Paul spends a lot of the times in his letters reflecting on those types of discussions. Sometimes he criticizes a church for going too far in one way, and sometimes he encourages them that they can go even farther than they have so far. But at no point are they saying that the people of God, those who are following Christ, are justified in sinning in order to even do something that they think would bring glory to God. For instance, in Romans chapter 3, Paul puts it this way. If our unrighteousness serves to show the righteousness of God, what shall we say? That God is unrighteous to inflict wrath on us? I speak in a human way. By no means, for then how could God judge the world? But if through my lie God's truth abounds to his glory, why am I still being condemned as a sinner? And why not do evil that good may come, as some people slanderously charge us with saying? Their condemnation is just. He points out the fact that although we are called to, with great effort and great energy, pursue the mission that God has for us, to proclaim the gospel in many ways and in many places and to the people around us, we are still called to live righteous lives. That you are wrong to say, well, if I just have a little bit of extra sin in this, I bet we could be more effective. Think how much we could give to the church if we all went and stole a little bit. Next time you go out shopping, try to get incorrect change. Really confuse the cashier. And if you end up with $5 or $10 extra dollars, let's bring it back and we'll put it in the offering. That would be a ridiculous way to run a church. To go out and to engage in sin in some way, hoping to bring glory to God from it. The people that hear of the story of Peter going to these Gentiles are rightfully concerned of what this means for their mission. Are they going to live in the right way? Are we obeying God in what we are doing? Because it matters for the church. It matters to do things rightly, to live in obedience. For Peter, he also took some convincing to go and to meet with this family, with this household. He wondered, is this going to be okay? He heard from God the explanation of what was going on. To be convinced by this vision that he could take these steps, because all concerned had the same idea in their mind. Can we break the law for the sake of the gospel? How do we know when we are crossing a line and when we are rightfully proclaiming the gospel in these ways and in these places? They are concerned that they are living the right way. But we see that in this instance, there was a new work of the Spirit that was happening. We see this work of the Spirit in a couple of ways. Peter recounts the vision that he saw. This vision about the animals, which ultimately is pointing him to the relationship with people. The Spirit was at work in this conviction. The rules about who you would meet with and what you would eat were, of course, important parts of the Old Testament teaching. In Jesus' work in fulfilling the law, we see at the same time that
many of these barriers fall. We see this not just in the food laws, not just in the laws of who you speak with, but in the laws regarding how people relate to God. That Jesus fulfills that work of the priesthood so that each of us can know God in a direct fashion. We speak of the priesthood of all believers. That role that was reserved for those who had that right descent and serving in the right way and cleansing themselves in the right way as they would come and serve in the temple to come and enter into the presence of God now is opened up to those who have faith in Jesus. That direct relationship to God. And we see that this work of the Spirit is not some idle thing, because it is confirmed again, not just in the vision ahead of time, but then in the receiving of the Holy Spirit by Cornelius and his family, the household there, in the preaching of the gospel. We see that this is confirmed in the results of God's movement among these people. And really, this work of the Spirit, this proclamation of the gospel outside just the hereditary people of Israel, still does have its roots in the Old Testament. That we've already seen in Acts those who were God-fearing people who had converted to Judaism and the work there. We see allowance for that in the Old Testament laws themselves and the people of the land. We see even in the time of Abraham, God's promise that it wouldn't be just that household that was blessed, but that the world would be blessed through God's work. This is still in line with God's plans in the Old Testament and in the law, although it's being done in a little different way now. These direct relationship, the breaking down of these divisions, as Paul speaks of, to eliminate these differences and to bring us all into one family. This work of the Spirit that happens in an amazing way, giving strength to the church as strange people are brought in now. And this, as Peter relays, brings us back to the word of Jesus. He says, as we look in verse 16, "I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit.'" As this happens here, and as he sees the Spirit move, I think, you know, reading through chapter 10, this was pretty unexpected to him still at that time. Even being told in this vision and being reminded again to go and see these people, enter in with them and share the gospel with them. Even in all of this, I think he's still surprised when their faith leads to the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps he thought that they would hear the message and maybe appreciate it a lot, and then eventually they'd convert to Judaism and go through that whole process, and then sometime after that receive the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit comes upon them, just as they are. He remembers what Jesus said, what Jesus was doing. There were probably a lot of other things that he remembered about Jesus, seeing these strange people with him, borders being crossed that he didn't expect, seeing that now this was confirmed with the words of Jesus to his disciples, to his people. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. His understanding that this must point to the Gentiles as well now, that they're receiving the Holy Spirit, that Jesus would now count these people as his disciples and his followers as well. But he could remember other things. Jesus' own ministry and the way that he would cross many borders in the culture to proclaim the truth of the kingdom. His own commands to them to proclaim this gospel, and not just among the Jewish cities and towns nearby, but across the world. That although this is in a sense, a new revelation of what the kingdom of God would be about, what the church would be about, of how they would live, at the same time it is in line with what Jesus did, what the Old Testament proclaims, And he sees this work of the Spirit, this growth of the church. To their credit, the people who spoke against him are silenced by this. They have no more argument left. In verse 18, when they hear these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God. And they say, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. They rejoice with him. They give glory to God, whose love and whose mercy pour out not just to the people of Israel, not just to the Jewish people of the day, but now opened to the rest of the world. Of course, we benefit greatly from this. This path of the gospel that is not limited just to that time and that place. The expansion of the gospel around the world. That group of many who would come and proclaim now outside the bounds of Jerusalem and Judea. The work of the apostles, many of whom traveled great distances to proclaim the gospel. We see throughout Acts the continuing missionary journeys, Paul and his travels. Those places where he would go and proclaim it now in new ways, in relation to new things, to try to find people where they were and speak the gospel to them. And that method has continued for generation and generation and generation to reach us. That God is working in our lives, that the Holy Spirit has come upon us through the same preaching of the gospel. That God has granted repentance that leads to life to us. We rejoice in that. As we look at the church today, the ways that we are able to minister, the people that God has put around us, this is an encouragement in several ways, because God has opened the doors to his kingdom. That it is not for us to judge who is able to know God or not. It is not for us to think in our own hearts, well, these people clearly don't want anything to do with this, and so let's just step back and ignore them with this work of the gospel. But to go boldly, even to places where it seems unusual, unlikely that they might respond. Even those people like people at this time looking at the Gentiles thinking, well, certainly the Holy Spirit's not going to come to them. And yet God can do surprising things. God can do a surprising work. I know that many of you have family members or dear friends who have not come to faith, who have perhaps heard the gospel from you many times and have not responded. And I encourage you, do not give up in that proclamation, in that sharing of God's work in your life, in the way that you are changing, in the way that God continues to pour out grace and mercy. Because you may be surprised when people that you thought long lost hear the gospel and respond to it. But in all these things, to work in obedience to God. To do it in a way that gives glory to him in every step of that work. There will be times when you have to figure out where that line is for you in the unique circumstances that you find yourselves in. When can you move into a situation to speak to someone and share love? And when do you have to help and care for them from outside the situation? How closely can you stand beside them in an attempt to walk them out of darkness? And when would standing beside them be an encouragement to sin? But in all of this, to not give up on that ministry, to not give up on the ministry of going to new places and seeing new households hear the gospel, to do all of this in righteousness and through prayer, through reliance on the Spirit. Because God is able to do incredible work. It's my prayer, my hope for this church, that as we go and as we go through this season, as we come to Christmas, as we go through the year ahead, that we would move boldly, that the gospel would go out in mighty ways and in unusual places, and that through all of that, God would be glorified. That we would join together and rejoice as they do at the end of this passage, glorifying God, saying, now, to this person, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Just as God has granted to us the repentance that leads to life. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your presence here, for your work around us, your Holy Spirit within us, your direction of this world. And if there have been places where we have been hesitant to move, hesitant to go and speak, that you would help us to have a right level of boldness, to be strengthened or convicted where it is needed, that we would live righteous lives and that we would proclaim in every place we are able your glory, your gospel, and your love. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Please rise for the benediction. And as you do that, I'll remind you that we'll meet in probably 10 minutes for a little worship meeting. And I think maybe we'll just meet in this little room up here across from the bathrooms so people can feel free to stay and chat in the main area if you want while we meet that way. Now, may God bless you and keep you. May he prepare your hearts as you look forward to Christmas. May he prepare the people around you to see your celebration of the birth of Christ and to hear the gospel from you. Amen. You are dismissed.